We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the Sixth Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast, with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball, by fans, for fans. Go Magic! What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Sixth Man Show. Today is September 12th, 2022. Jonathan Osborne here. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia. Luke, what's going on, bro?
Just been watching a lot of football, you know? It was a terrible football weekend for me, but it was nice to, even though like I don't have an NFL team, I don't really keep up with the NFL much, it's still nice. Like, just to know people are checking their fantasy football scores all day, they got their parlays going. It's a good time. Fall is in the air. We don't really know much about fall and you know, Florida besides pumpkin spice stuff, but the fall's in the air because football's here. That's how we know.
It'll get into the 60s for a couple of weeks, you know, come November and December. That'll be nice. But I haven't been able to say this since I started this podcast. The Giants are 1-0.
Wow.
The Giants are undefeated right now for the first time since the 2016 season. And yeah, it feels really good. It feels really good. The Giants picked up the W today. Daniel Jones, who I am wearing his jersey right now, did his best towards the end of that game to give it away. But the Giants won on a missed field goal by the Titans. Shout out to our boy, Magic Marquis. And yeah, it feels good. You started off the year good and then not so good this weekend. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
Have you said anything to Marquis?
I sent him the little smirk emoji. I can't lie.
Did he reply?
Like, just a little bit. What did he say to me? It wasn't anything good. It was bye. He just said bye when I texted him. Because he texted me earlier today and was like, take it easy on us today. I said, yeah, okay, not going to be close. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I thought Derrick Henry was just going to do Derrick Henry things. And for whatever reason, that did not happen today. I don't want the Giants to take too much credit for that. I don't want to jinx us. But he didn't really go crazy today, luckily. But Ryan Tannehill almost did beat us at the end. But yeah, you know, it's all love with me and Marquis. But, you know, the Giants, anytime they get a W, I'm going to appreciate that. We might not get many of those this year. So,
did you ever look at, like, was there an over-under set for win-loss for the Giants this year?
I did not look at that. I know that the Titans were getting were giving 5 points today. So I was like, man, this game isn't going to be close.
Right.
So, no, I didn't look at any kind of, like, over-under. I'm thinking... I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast because he does every week with Cousin Sally, do like a, you know, like guess the line kind of thing. And they were talking about an over under for the Giants. I think it was at 8 or 9 games. Bill Simmons said under, Cousin Sal said the over. I'm guessing it's probably around like 7 or 8. That would be my estimate. If we win 8 games, if we go 8-9, that would be a very successful season to me.
And if you go 10-7, you're streaking.
Oh my gosh, dude! Yeah, if I'll get another Giants tat if we go 10-7, I'll just add something to this—a little dime, you know, something like that—a
little dime
to commemorate Danny's time. Because, you know, I mean, it's frustrating because the kid has all the talent in the world, but it's just like, you cannot throw that interception in the end zone today. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't throw that pick and has the game that he has today, we're like, oh, he might be starting to figure it out. Now, you don't want to go crazy over a guy, you know, throwing two touchdowns in a game. But if he doesn't throw that pick, I feel like we're having a different conversation right now. I know after week one, you asked me how I felt about Daniel Jones, and I said I was like 97% out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm irrationally emotional when it comes to the Giants. I do a much better job with the magic of keeping my emotions in check and like being like realistic. With the Giants, that totally goes out the window. I just get to be a stupid fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's fun. So I know, you know, crazy week one for everyone. Nobody really cares to hear about the Giants. Some people do. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. You guys probably care about the Bucks. You probably care about the Orlando City, who won the, you know, the Open. You know, it's not an MLS tournament now that producer Kevin has kind of learned us up on that. The U.S. Open Cup, mm-hmm. as Kevin is let me know in the headphones here, which I really, really appreciate. The U.S. Open Cup over the Sacramento Republic. There we go. Kevin Tucker with the clutch bucket again at the end. That was a fun game. I did watch that. You know, Facundo, you know, I know people are really excited about him for the Orlando City. And, you know, it seems like he's probably going to move on to greener, more European pastures because he's really freaking good. But yeah, super happy for Orlando City fans. Luke and I aren't super into the football, but
I know they got beat by the Philadelphia Union last night. I do know that. It was not good.
Well,
it was,
you know,
a little 5-1 action,
it's all right.
Coming
they just,
off a big
just won a championship.
Emotional win, yeah. You know?
The U.S. Open or the U.S. Open Cup championship hangover.
Right.
That maybe that's what we're calling it.
Sure.
Anyways, we've just kind of, not Luke. I've really just gone off the rails a little bit too much.
True.
A couple of things that we want to talk to you guys about. So Orlando Magic Media Day is 2 weeks from today. You guys are probably listening to this on Monday. Media Day is 2 weeks from today. And then the 27th is the start of training camp. So like we're just a couple of weeks from like the Magic season getting underway. And then we will be into the preseason. The final game of the preseason, October 14th, against the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Magic will be at home at 7 o'clock. We are putting together a group of folks to go to that game and have a good time, fill the lower bowl, cheer on our team, get ready for the regular season. It's going to be a lot of fun. We want you guys to come with us. We all complain about how we are sick and tired of opposing teams, fans, coming into Amway, taking over the lower bowl, and you can hear their chants ring throughout the second half. This is step one of us trying to change that culture. Put your butts in the seats that night, even though it's a preseason game. Let's cheer on these guys. Let's let them know that we're here. Paolo, there's all these rumors now about an expansion team coming to Seattle. You better start cheering Paolo like your freaking life depends on it, because I got to let you know it does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle gets the Sonics back.
Or anything.
I'm the DeVos family. I'm driving to Paolo, and I said, I don't care if this violates the CBA. We are going to sign you to a 20-year contract tonight. We will take the fines, mm-hmm. whatever it takes to keep you here in Orlando.
Right.
So from day one, let's let this kid know that we are ecstatic to have him. Let's let this team know that we are here. We are behind them. We have their backs. We are going to be putting our butts in the seats all season long mm-hmm. as this team competes and tries to make the playoffs. So if you want to join us for this game, and you better join us for this game, you can purchase tickets at Fevo, fevo.me/the6man show. That's fevo.me/the6man show. Tickets are going quickly. They range anywhere from $28 to $38. We did try to keep this relatively, what's the word that I'm looking for?
Affordable.
So cheap. You guys can come out.
Mm-hmm.
Cheap.
Cost effective.
Yes. Those are the words that I'm looking for. Cost effective. That is the word that I was looking for. Perfect. Thank you, Luke. Mm-hmm. Come out again. fevo.me/the6man show. We have been following Franz Wagner, and shout out to the announcers at Eurobasket. It only took them like six games into Eurobasket to start saying Franz Wagner's name correctly. We have been following Franz and the German national team really throughout like the pre-Eurobasket friendlies. I want to say close to a month at this point. And Germany is now six games into Eurobasket. as we talked about on the last podcast, they were getting to play their last group stage game against Hungary, which was last Wednesday. They won that game going away 106-71. They went 4-1 in the group stage. They ended up second in the group in Group B, only behind Slovenia. They actually both finished 4-1, but because it was the head-to-head tiebreaker and they lost to Slovenia in the fourth game, Slovenia had the tiebreaker. So in the round of 16, Germany was matched up against Montenegro. With 2:34 to go in the third quarter, Franz went up for a three. There are two defenders that closed in on him. His right ankle came down on a defender's foot, and he twisted the ankle. He looked like he was in a lot of pain. Shot his free throws, but then left the game and was on the bench for a couple of minutes with the trainers. And then, from what I understand, he left the arena to go get further treatment or to go get testing, whatever the case may be. He wasn't on the bench for the rest of that game. There are people on Twitter just kind of doing my, you know, Twitter research, not from any verified accounts, by the way, just like very blurry photos of what looks like it could be Franz Wagner from behind wearing a hoodie, getting into some kind of black SUV after the game. Also photos of him like getting like a lot of ice on the ankle while he was still on the bench. But early Sunday morning, the German national team from their Twitter, they said, update from Berlin. After extensive imaging diagnostics in the accident hospital in Berlin late yesterday evening, Franz Wagner is still being treated by the DBB Deutschland something basketball or Deutschland basketball Bund. I don't really know what the DBB is. But the further course remains to be seen in terms of whether or not Franz is going to be available. Their next game is actually coming up on Tuesday. They're set to go up against Giannis Antetokounmpo and Greece. So one of the favorites of the tournament. Serbia was actually knocked out on Sunday. They lost 86-94 to Italy, which really was a massive upset. Serbia had Nikola Jokic. So as it is now in the quarterfinals, Germany is set to go up against Greece. If they move on, they would play the winner of Spain and Finland. And then the other half of the bracket, Slovenia is going to play Poland on Wednesday. And then France is going to play Italy on Wednesday. The expectation would be for France and Slovenia to move on again. You'll have a rematch from Group B. And then the winner of that game would move on to the final. The road for both of those teams gets a lot easier without having to play Serbia. But if Germany beats Greece, if Franz is healthy and is able to play against Greece, they play the winner of Spain and Finland. Would be a tough matchup for them either way, but they should be able to beat, you know, either of those teams. So if Franz is able to go, you're looking at Germany potentially playing in the final in Berlin, which if you don't know, is in Germany. I'm sure you guys know that. But just massive implications for the German national team and also Franz, also for the Orlando Magic. It doesn't seem like it's anything super serious, but we got that update, you know, early, you know, Eastern time here in the States, which was like early to mid afternoon, I think, over in Germany. But we haven't got any further updates after that point. Maybe we'll hear something on Monday. But again, they're set to play Greece on Tuesday. And if they don't have Franz Wagner, I don't see them getting past Giannis.
Do you think the moment that Franz went out of that game, Weltman called Germany and was like, hey guys, don't let him play. In fact, we might not let him play the first month of the season now, just by what we saw, you know? So we're just going to hold him out actually the whole year. And we're just not going to see Franz. So sorry guys, we're being extra cautious. And we really hope that Franz improves. You know, like there's no way that Weltman was in a good mood when he like got wind of it or was watching and saw it. You know that he just like wanted to take full control and just be like, hold him out. We know how this team handles injuries in general. So to see it happen at the hands of a different team, regardless of it being, you know, FIBA, Eurobasket, Weltman was probably just losing his mind. Still is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation, obviously, because like his health is going to be first and foremost. We saw, you know, Mo Wagner have an ankle injury like in the beginning of August, I believe it was, and then he was just like automatically ruled out for like you know, all of their friendlies and, you know, for the Super Cup and then Eurobasket. So depending upon like the severity of the sprain, it, like Franz looked like he was in a lot of pain. Now they were winning that game comfortably, and then it got super tight down the stretch. Mm-hmm. Like, give all the credit in the world to Montenegro in that game. But I think at one point they were up by like 24 points. Mm-hmm. I think they were, it was like 48 to 24, like right before halftime. So Montenegro came all the way back and really had a chance to win that game in the final minutes. Not having Franz was massive, like really, really tough for Germany. And I just thought if he could be playing, they would have him in this game to close it out. Or maybe they're just hoping they can hold on, and what they have should have been good enough to win that game going away. They ended up just barely squeaking it out. But I'm sure Jeff is really probably not conflicted. He's probably just like, all right, shut him down.
Yeah.
For me, I'm just like, man, winning the Eurobasket for Germany, which I think would be like their first time since 1997, I want to say. I could be mistaken on that. 1997 is significant for Germany in Eurobasket. I don't know if that's the last time they won or like the last time they made it to like the semifinal or to the final, but it's a massive deal for these guys that get to play for their national teams. I think in the U.S., we're kind of jaded and we take it for granted, because when it comes to international play, we're just expected to destroy everybody.
Yeah.
And anything else like that's not gold isn't a big deal. And because, at least, you know, in our lifetime, except for like 2004 and I think 2008, I think outside of that, like we've just, in whether it's like the FIBA World Cup or the Olympics, it's just like gold after gold after gold, to the point now, like the last FIBA World Cup where we lost to France, like people didn't even care. They're like, eh, whatever. We win gold all the time. But I feel like it's a much bigger deal for these other countries. And Franz was just like, everyone was talking about how well Franz was playing, and something like that, like going up against the best guys in the world. Like, let's say they beat, you know, Slovenia or France in the Eurobasket final and they win Eurobasket. Then all of a sudden, like, that is just such a big boost for Franz Wagner. I was really looking forward to like him just carrying that momentum into the Orlando Magic season. So if he is healthy enough to play, I do want him to play. Like, because if he wasn't playing Eurobasket, he would be playing like open scrimmages, you know, with, you know, the Magic guys and everything. These guys can get hurt at any time. So unless it's an issue with like the court conditions, like what we saw at the crossover, and also in it wasn't in Berlin. Where were they? In Cologne, the group stage in Cologne, the court conditions there were not great. Guys were slipping all the time. But like, I'm conflicted because, sure, you just want to like bubble wrap Franz for the regular season, but at the same time, like, it's so special to be able to do that for your national team, especially if you're not the U.S. And I was really looking forward to that because they have a real chance to win it all.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. It's tough, but you know, as a Magic fan, I also get it. People that are like, hold him out, I don't care. I mean, to be completely honest, like, yes, I think it would be great if Franz can win. But at the same time, I'm like, selfishly, I mean, I said it when we first were talking about Eurobasket. I was like, I don't really care, honestly, if Germany's winning games, if Franz isn't playing well. Like, if Franz isn't playing well in these games that Germany's winning, I don't really care. Like, I just care about Franz. Let's make that clear. So for me, it's almost like my knee-jerk reaction is, yeah, hold him out. But I understand it's a huge deal. I know Franz knows it's a huge deal for him. He would love to do it. So we'll see how they handle it and what happens with Franz, hoping that it's just, you know, nothing serious.
I don't know what I was thinking. 1997 Eurobasket, Yugoslavia has nothing to do with Germany. I don't know why I felt like that was relevant. You guys can just completely ignore that.
They won in 93 or something. They hosted and won gold in 93. I think that's
93.
I think that's what I saw, but
year I was born. It's a great year.
I was I wasn't born.
You weren't quite born.
I was negative
yet.
Three. Yeah, I was almost there.
You're just swimming around, you know, just chilling, hanging out. But yeah, a lot of people are just like, you know, shut him down. I'm like, I would understand if they do that. And I feel like that is probably what will happen. But if he feels like he can give it a go, And if he's not at risk of like injuring it further, give it a go. Like, try to win the gold. Like, to me, that would be incredible for Germany. I feel like it would just be a great story. And the other thing that sucks is like, this team would be so good with Mo. Like, if Mo Wagner was playing in this game or playing in this tournament and a healthy Franz and everything like that, Germany is going to be really good for a long time. And it's exciting that we have a guy like Franz that we get to watch for the Magic and then also watch him compete on these like big national stages.
I'm probably going to sound, before we switch off this topic, I'm probably going to sound like a huge international basketball casual. But didn't Vooch play for Montenegro like recently? Like, he didn't play the other day. Is he not playing at all for Montenegro this year?
I don't think he's playing Eurobasket at all.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I'm
almost certain.
I wasn't able to catch the game on Saturday against them, so I just was kind of looking at the box score. I figured that wasn't the case. I hadn't heard nothing about Vucevic. Figured he would have been a contributing factor, so that's interesting.
Yeah, no, I don't know why he's not playing, but I'm pretty sure I was like looking at their roster before Eurobasket started, and he wasn't listed. So, I don't think he was dealing like any kind of injury, you know, from the playoffs with the Bulls. But yeah, sometimes they just don't play for the national team. And yeah, that's another team that would be really interesting if Vooch was playing, because like in the first game of the knockout round, they took Germany to the brink.
Yeah.
And if Vooch is in that game,
right?
I don't know. Things might have not been, you know, may not have been different, but yeah.
Magic fans would have told you that would have been different. Bulls fans would have told you it wouldn't have made a difference.
Bulls fans, bro. I love Bulls fans, but they go back and forth on Vooch like way worse than Magic fans did.
Yeah.
Like they're like within a game, they're back and forth on Vooch. Like, trade this guy, he sucks. All right, this is the Vooch we've been waiting for. Bulls winning it all. Like, they go really crazy with it.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and shout out our patrons. So if you guys are new listeners to the show or just haven't heard this part of the show before, we do have a Patreon channel where you can help financially support the show. If you're interested in that at all, you can find us at patreon.com/thesixthmanshow. Every penny that comes in through our Patreon channel goes back into the show, helps us do things like upgrade equipment and get better resources to bring you guys a better show. Every little bit helps. We truly, truly appreciate that. And one of our tiers that we call the Hall of Fame tier patrons, one of those benefits is that we shout you out on every single episode. So let's shout out our Hall of Fame tier patrons. Let's start with Court Cousins, Armin, Carson Tulo, Jonathan Borges, Norm L, Magic Player History, Bailey Wiffle, Michael Salapong, Franz Godefichot, Ryan Singh, The Distract, I'm Ron Burgundy, Pierre A, Dylan Holden, Mr. Mikey, Lil Penny, Drum, Danimal, Dutto 15, Bobby Skinner, Nate Donley, Goaty 93, Teddy Sylvia, Luke's mom. Thank you guys so much for your support. It really means the world to us, and we cannot do what we do without you guys. So again, if you would like to be one of our patrons, you can find us at patreon.com/thesixthmanshow.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs.
twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple of items of NBA news, Luke, this week. Nothing really too crazy here. Shams tweeted out a couple of days ago that the NBA has informed teams that the 2023-24 salary cap is currently projected to be $134 million, which is $10.4 million higher than this season. But this is really just $1 million higher than previous projections. So although it is a slight bump in calories, man, I need to get on a diet. That's why I'm thinking about calories. But salaries, there is going to be a little bit of a bump. Usually there is each year. But it's just $1 million higher than previous projections. So it doesn't make a massive difference really for anybody. But there is another piece of news I almost said, whoa, good grief. Shams, he tweeted out about the current framework of an NBA in-season tournament coming as early as 2023-2024. Per sources, this is nothing that's been announced by the NBA officially. Some of the details includes cup games through November, and then 8 teams advance to a single elimination final in December. The other 22 teams will continue with the regular season, and then all games are part of the normal 82 schedule with one extra for the two final teams. He says the NBA and NBPA are still working to finalize the in-season tournament, which includes to be determined prizes for the 8 teams that advance to the single elimination round, sources said. So we've heard about this, it seems like, for the last, 4 or 5 years. They've been trying to work something out. You know, it's been rumored they've been working on how to incentivize that. But the details so far, so cup games through November. So that's what, like 6 weeks? Because the NBA season usually starts about the third week somewhere about there into October, around October, 19th, 20th. And then games would run through November. So that's basically 6 weeks of cup games, and then at that point 8 teams would advance to a single elimination final in December, with the other 22 teams continuing with the regular season. So Luke and I were talking about this before we started recording the show, and it's just like, how does that work? The other 22 teams, if you have games scheduled against those other 8 teams, how does that like come into effect to where everyone would still end up playing 82 games other than the 2 teams that make it to the final of this tournament? So for me, I just need more details before I really give a good opinion on how I feel about this one way or the other.
Yeah.
It seems exciting. Like, we just saw the Orlando City fans get excited about the U.S. Open Cup. So maybe it would give teams that aren't that great something to get excited about in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
But, I don't know how I feel about this yet.
Yeah, so I don't know either. I found some stuff here. Let's see. I'm looking at basically Shams' Twitter, like tweeting history, to looking up the end season tournament, looking by that keyword, and just trying to see what else he has said in the past as well, to see if they're, maybe it's just not accurate anymore. But just to kind of give a better idea too of what the format even looks like, he tweeted in July of this year that the Board of Governors discussed the in-season concept of all 30 teams competing, 8 teams single elimination to determine the winner, as seems to still be the case, with the final 4 at a neutral site. So that's interesting, right? Like, they're just trying to take it away more, make it more even, I guess, when it gets to that final 4. There's not like a huge, I just wonder how that's going to work. Like, where are they going to play? Like, neutral site, does that just mean like another NBA's, like, court?
Neutral site sucks.
Well, yeah, because you take your fans away from being able to go see the team play, right? Unless you're doing it like locations, or I don't know what they're going to do.
It's not. Oh, you take your like, you know, teams away from like the fans, like you don't have home court advantage. Like for me, it's just like as a Magic fan, like we literally just saw this with the Orlando City, like having the final in your home stadium is like a massive deal. Like when Facundo scored that goal to give them the lead towards the end of that game. Like the microphone on ESPN sounded like it broke because that stadium was so loud. And I'm sure it was a crazy amount of fun. We've talked about this in the past. Like, what if the Magic host a play-in game? Like, you've got one game to move on. Like, how crazy that atmosphere would be. And, like, the cup games is a cool idea because, like, regular season games, it's like, oh, well, this game is, like, one of our cup games. So it's going to make it, like, that much more important. And just like having that kind of final like in your home arena would just make it so much more fun. Or what are they trying to do? Like put it in like a football stadium like they do with the like March Madness Final Four and have 100,000 people there? Like to me, that just has to suck.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens. I think that I do like the tournament and the case. Like I'm just trying to figure out, okay, what is the main incentive? Is it just money? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, is it just money for players? Because it looks like $1 million, like at least when he was tweeting about it too in July and then any time before that, he had talked about like it's $1 million in prize money per player. So like, I'm guessing if your team is the team that wins, you each player gets $1 million, which is nuts. Like you understand, like this means the 13th guy on the bench, 14, like $1 million. So you know that if those guys got tossed into the game late in the game, they're playing their butts off, and every announcer's like, man, this guy really wants that $1 million. He's like diving everywhere.
Put Admiral Schofield out there. He's trying to recoup his fine money from last year.
Yeah. So I think it could be fun in that respect, right? And we don't get a single elimination type tournament. Like we see March Madness every year in college. It is the most exciting tournament in sports in terms of like that aspect. Like anybody can lose on any night. Number one seeds, obviously, it doesn't happen much, and it hadn't happened at all till a few seasons ago when UMBC beat Virginia as the 16 seed in the one seed game. But regardless, like you, especially in the NBA, this can happen easy. If you have seeding, and it's like, I don't know how they're going to do seeding, how they determine anything really, but you just got to win one game. Anybody can win. And yes, I'm saying like the Magic could win a tournament like this, like if it's the case. But it also does that an incentive of like, you know, you're a month into the season, whatever. You don't normally get that type of competitive fire that you feel in the postseason. So to get it earlier in the season too would be a lot of fun. Any team being able to win, there can essentially be like a Cinderella story in the NBA, which seems hilarious and like very much not in the realm of possibility right now. So this kind of puts that possibility in play of like a Cinderella story like March Madness has. But for the NBA and just teams that, you know, aren't as nearly maybe not as good in the postseason because they're just not built for it. It's a totally different game in the postseason. We see it, right? Game slows down. It's half court. But in these one and done games, man, like you have no idea how it's going to play out, how these teams are going to game plan, which teams are going to actually care and which ones are, you know, a young team like the Magic, giving them $1 million in incentive per player. Like these are all young guys, a lot of them on like rookie deals. They want that extra million, maybe more than the guy that is like a LeBron who's making more money than he even cares about at this point. So it's a very interesting thing. And I think that it has the opportunity to be great and really entertaining. You know, the NBA has done this over the last few years, right? You look at the play-in game. They talked about like one of the proposals in 2019. I just saw this when Shams reported about it, but essentially like reseeding the top four, you know, playoff seeds based on like regular season record was something like, I don't even know what that even really entails, but they are trying to do anything and everything to keep the NBA growing at a rapid pace, get more eyes on the product. And I think that this is a really good step, and I'm interested to see how they really leverage it.
Imagine like whatever they end up calling this, like the mid-season cup final on Christmas Day.
Mm.
Like take the 7 o'clock game, like whatever you're going to slate, and just like put it as a placeholder. Like this is like, if you advance far enough in this tournament, because like Christmas games, everybody, like, I don't know if everyone wants a Christmas Day game. Like, if you're LeBron and you're playing in like your 15th Christmas Day game, you're probably like, eh, like whatever. But like some guys, it's like that day, the entire league, their eyes are on you. For like a young team like the Magic, if you give them some cup games and then you put them into this like single elimination game tournament in December and you say like the prize at this is $1 million to each guy on the roster.
Yep.
And you'll have like a home game on Christmas. Like, I would be all for that. And especially now with the NFL invading on Christmas, which is complete bullcrap, by the way. Like, the NBA is, like, Christmas is the NBA's day. It always has been, and it still should be, in my opinion. But putting a game like that on Christmas Day would be awesome. But, like, you always see at the Final Four, people are, like, the basketball court looks this small. If you're, like, and I'm, you know, doing the thing with your fingers to say, hey, this is this small. If your girl's ever shown you that, you know that your confidence has just been completely destroyed. But what I'm saying is they should do that, the final, on Christmas Day, and that would just be absolutely incredible. I'm going to use this opportunity. We are going to segue into our next topic here. So,
I hate you.
Not to, like, that was pretty good, right? That was, for the folks on YouTube, we'll really appreciate that. If you're listening to this on like the podcast version of this, just pause it, go to the YouTube video, watch like the last 45 seconds, and like you could just thank us later. But what we want to talk about now is, and we don't do this to like pat ourselves on the back or anything like that, but when Luke came on to the show and we kind of like introduced, you know, our listeners at the time to Luke, I think we had like 1,200 followers on Twitter. We are getting like maybe a couple hundred downloads per episode. Mm-hmm. We're probably close to like quadrupling that at this point. Like our social media following, on YouTube, we're doing way more than four times more than what we were doing back then. We're doing a lot better with the downloads, and that is all thanks to you all. But we also understand that there are probably a lot of people that are like coming to the show that don't know like my backstory, Luke's backstory, how the podcast got started, and kind of like what the heartbeat and like the mission of the Six Man Show is. So we're going to just start by like, allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is
Jonathan, and I'm an Orlando Magic fan. And we're just going to kind of go through how we became Magic fans and how we started the show and why we do the show and all that kind of stuff. So if you've heard this stuff before, you know, by all means, like we're like 30 some odd minutes into this.
You've gotten your content.
You can
all right.
Tune out. You've gotten your content. Mm-hmm. We've given that to you. Mm-hmm. But for the folks that have come alongside us in the last 2.5 years that may not have heard this before, this is for y'all. So myself, so I was born in 1993. I was born in New Jersey. That is why I'm a Yankees fan. That's why I'm a New York Giants fan, because my whole family was into football and into baseball. But we moved to North Carolina for about a year when I was 2 years old. And then when I was 3 years old, we moved here to Florida. Okay. When I was about 10 years old, my best friend, Will Robles, who was the original co-host on the Six Man Show before Luke blessed me with his presence every single week here. Mm. But he really was really into basketball. I was really into baseball at the time. But I was at his house one day. We were playing NBA Live, and I think it was like NBA Live 2001, maybe 2002, something like that. Like, we were playing on GameCube. That's how long ago this was. And we were playing, both of us were on the same team, and we were playing as the Orlando Magic. And I was like, who is this number one? This dude is filthy. I learned that his name was Tracy McGrady. There was no YouTube back then. I think Google had like just started at this time, where you could like Google Images. You could just like look up. So I was on Google Images looking at like, you know, Tracy McGrady, just pictures of Tracy McGrady, like nothing crazy. And then started to watch the Magic, and I just fell in love with Tracy McGrady. And Tracy McGrady is like what helped me fall in love with basketball. And not too long after that, Tracy McGrady was traded away to the Houston Rockets. And I've been following the team since then. The 2009 finals run for the Orlando Magic really boosted my fandom. And really ever since then, that was my sophomore year of high school, I believe. 9, 10, 11. Yeah, my sophomore year of high school. And I remember talking trash to all these kids who were LeBron James fans, claiming that Cleveland was going to destroy us in the Eastern Conference Finals, and just going back in and be able to rag on them, and that my team was going to the finals was just incredible. And yeah, I've been rocking with the Magic ever since. I'll throw it to Luke.
So yeah, for me, it was more, I'm from, born and raised in Florida. So my family, you know, went to Magic games here and there, you know, in the 90s, and have, you know, they were able to do that. I was born in 96. So at that point, I think that, you know, for me, it was just the, you know, it was just a matter of time before I got into being a Magic fan, solely because I was from Central Florida. I played, you know, a lot of sports growing up, was indulged in all of it, like just loved playing sports and watching it eventually when I got old enough. So mine was pretty much like Dwight Howard draft year, like 2004 for me, when I was like 8, right? Like that's when I really started to understand who players were, which players were actually, you know, contributing something to the team. You know, you start to, as you get older, you just reach a point where you're like able to comprehend all this stuff. And I think that's when I really got into it. And so for me, it was really that year, 2004. Have a lot of awesome kind of memories growing up with the team, essentially, and obviously the last, you know, decade hasn't been great. So, but we're getting there, you know, we're chugging along. There's always next year. And we know that all too well as Magic fans, but we'll get to see kind of what happens this upcoming season for the Magic. But they really, you know, between, you know, them, the Gators, like those are my two teams. I don't have a plethora of teams by any means. I know producer Kevin has approximately 35 teams that he likes in all different leagues. I think he's got a cricket.
You're going to pay for that.
No. What I was saying was, I think Kevin might even have a cricket team.
I saw an elderly gentleman rocking the Arsenal shirt today. I was like, man, Kevin would love that guy.
Kevin would love that guy. But no, Kevin just indulges in a lot of sports. Like I said, I think he might have a cricket team. So who knows? But for me, it's just a big Quidditch guy. But it's just, for me, it's the Magic, and it's really Gator football, Gator basketball, more so Gator football. And then basketball wise, it's mainly the Magic, and just, you know, it's had a lot of sweet memories growing up. I just hope that we can add to that, so I don't have to keep relying on nostalgia, you know, to continue getting me through being a Magic fan.
Yeah, that's like, for the like you mentioned, the better part of the last decade plus, that's what we've been clinging to, is like nostalgia.
Yeah.
And like, especially when we talk about the jerseys, and, you know, some jersey stuff came out this week that we're going to hold off on talking about. We'll talk more about that stuff next week, for reasons for us to know and for you guys to find out.
True.
But Luke, you mentioned that the team has been bad for like the last 10 years. So, you know, Dwight Howard gets traded away in the summer of 2012. Mm-hmm. And really the gem for us in that trade was Nikola Vucevic, who was traded two seasons ago at the trade deadline. And that's what really catapulted this team into the new youth movement, like this new era of Magic basketball that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. If you have not been paying attention to the team since, you know, 2012, 2013 season and onward, it's been rough. You know, basically we started to go into this rebuild that never couldn't really ever get traction to really like move to the next step. So it was just like a failed rebuild with Rob Hennigan. And then once they fired Rob Hennigan and John Hammond and Jeff Weltman came in, essentially what everyone believes is that they were mandated, like, we've been bad for the last, you know, 6-7 years. It's time to get us into the playoffs, basically, like, any means necessary. And Jeff and John did exactly that. They got the Magic, you know, into the playoffs. And then once Markelle Fultz got hurt 8 games into the, 2020-2021 season, it was evident that it was time to go a different direction with this team and just to blow everything up. And they did that. But I say all that to say this. During the 2000s and the 2010s, there was not a lot of Magic coverage. You had Orlando Magic Daily. Obviously, you had our boy Philip Rossman Reich. You had the Orlando Pinstripe Post. I know I'm going to forget. You had the Men in Blue podcast. Mm. Shout out to our boy producer Kevin.
Uh-huh.
Like later on, you had like the Close Up Magic. Obviously, we had you know, Dan Savage and Josh Cohen covering the team. We had John Denton. We had
you got
Josh
yourself
Robbins.
Into a slippery slope here, having to remember to name all these people.
Well, like I said, I'm definitely gonna forget people, and I apologize anybody that I've forgotten here. But at least like in the podcast space, like I was just always found myself wanting more. I wanted like more content. I've never been a big reader. Like I would always read like John Denton stuff and Josh Robbins stuff, but like. You understand that those guys can't write an article every day,
right?
You know, or you know, even every week. Like they're gonna, you know, go through times where they have more pieces, you know, than other, especially like throughout the off season, right? And one night I was driving home with my wife. This is in the beginning of 2019. The Magic had just beat the Charlotte Hornets on Valentine's Day, like a few days before, I think, and like really destroyed them. It was the beginning of a beautiful finish to the season where the Magic were 20-31, and they went 22-9 over the last 31 games to end up as the seventh seed in the playoffs. And I was driving home with my wife one night. I had just finished listening to an episode of I don't know if it was Locked On Magic at the time. It was Philip Rossman Reich. I think he was Locked On Magic at that point. And I said, "Man, I wish I had another Magic podcast to listen to." And my wife said, "Why don't you start a podcast?" And I was like, "I would never do that." And the more I thought about it, I was like, "Why don't I do that? At least try it out." But I knew I wasn't going to do it by myself. I knew I needed somebody. So my childhood best friend, known him since I was 6 years old. He was, you know, really one of the driving forces in me getting into basketball and following the Orlando Magic. My buddy Will, I was like, "Will, try this with me. If you hate it, we don't have to do it, but let's at least give it a shot." So we gave it a shot, and we covered the team throughout the playoff run that year, losing to the Raptors in the first round, into the offseason, re-signing Terrence Ross and Nikola Vucevic. But then the start of the next season, life got a little bit busier for him, and he was like, "Hey, this really isn't it for me." But unfortunately for me, I had already fell in love with this stuff. Meeting you guys, talking about this team every week, like the small community that we had started to build. And at that point, I was like, "All right, I'm going to try to do this by myself as long as I can while I look for another co-host." I knew that I needed to bring somebody on eventually because doing it by my week, like, excuse my language, but it freaking blew. It sucked. Doing this, I don't know how Philip Rossman Reich does this five times a week. I would sit at my computer for hours every Sunday, type out every single letter I was going to say on an episode, and then I would just go through that for 35 to 40 minutes. And it was really important to me because I had realized how much, and it's so funny that we're doing this because I just listened to the episode where I announced that Will was leaving the show. I don't know why I listened to it the other day because I'm weird like that. The show was so bad back then. So I thank people that listened then, that still listen now. And I'm thankful that Luke even wanted to join the show because it was so bad. But I knew that I needed to find somebody that was going to be as committed as I was because this is not an easy thing to do. We love doing this. We have a lot of fun doing this, but it is not always fun doing this. And it is hard. And you have to schedule your entire life to be able to do this. So I started to put the feelers out there. Luke hit me up on Twitter. We just kind of hit it like right off the bat.
Yeah.
Brought him onto the show. COVID hit. The whole league shut down. We had to do some crazy stuff to get through COVID with the Orlando Magic covering them. But Luke has been rocking with us ever since. Crazy things have happened to the show since then. Like, meeting with players, we partner with the Magic for like the draft lottery and the draft and meeting players, having them on the show, all this crazy stuff has happened. But the idea from the infancy of this podcast was this was going to be something different from like the other Orlando Magic media that was out there at the time. I don't care what they say. Anybody that follows the Magic as closely as we do, like Philip Rossman Reich is a very professional journalist. Like he is, does this with a lot of integrity. He tries to be as unbiased as possible. Philip will tell you this. He is still a fan of the Orlando Magic.
Yeah.
I wanted to do this more from like, what are the fans really thinking? Like, we're not always professional. We're not always filtered. We're not always as buttoned up as maybe as we should be. But we really just wanted to like be a voice for other Magic fans, like in the community that we have been talking to for years.
Yeah.
And we've always tried to keep that as the heartbeat and the DNA of the show. We will always try to do that. We have a real passion for continuing to grow the fan base. You heard us talk about it at the beginning of the show, where you go into Amway on a Tuesday night against the Miami Heat and the Magic are down 10 in the third quarter. And all of a sudden you hear those "Let's go Heat" chants. Like, wait a minute, we're in Orlando. This is our arena. Magic fans should be cheering for the Magic, even though they're down. We shouldn't be having away fans come into, you know, and take over the lower bowl. And you drive around Orlando, you go to a department store in Orlando, you drive around downtown Orlando, you don't see a lot of Magic signage. You go to department stores, you don't even see a lot of Magic gear really anywhere.
Yeah.
And we want to help to try to like organically grow the fan base. Producer Kevin, he made a great suggestion a few months ago. We were looking to bring on a social video producer. He's like, hey, we should make a mission statement. Like, we didn't have a mission statement and now we have. You guys have never heard this because we haven't put it anywhere. That will change. I need to put this on our website. But this is our mission statement. It really sums us up perfectly. The Six Man Show exists to grow the Orlando Magic fan base in number, awareness, and passion through content creation, community events, and other avenues of engagement. Our mission is to cultivate a space by Magic fans for Magic fans where they can embrace their shared love for the team. And that's what this is all about. Since I've been talking to people on Magic Twitter for years and years and years and starting the podcast, and we try to do these events where we bring people together, we know that, like in most of our lives, you all don't know a ton of other Magic fans. That is going to change in the next 5 to 10 years. I really believe that. But right now, we want to give you guys a space where you can listen to the team, where it feels like you are just talking about your favorite team with a couple of your buddies, Jonathan and Luke, where you can come out to events to actually hang out with other Magic fans and meet these fans that you've been talking to on social media for years. And just a place where you can come and really be passionate about this team and not be like, oh, that's my cousin, he's a Magic fan, what a loser. Where it's not like, yo, I'm a Magic fan, you're a Magic fan, hell yeah, let's go Magic. And that's like the space that we've always been trying to create. And that will always be the heartbeat of the show.
I want to add too, you know, you talk about, you know, that we just want you to feel like you're talking about the Magic with some buddies, like listening to your buddies talk about that. Like, we obviously, like, we're not big enough that we just like ignore things that are said about the show. Like, we hear things, we take into consideration things if it's said enough, right? Like, we seriously listen to what you guys say about the show. And, you know, for better or worse,
sometimes we're like, yo, you believe what this person said? Yeah, you believe this?
Exactly. But I want to add, someone said something a while ago. Jonathan brought it to my attention. I don't remember where Jonathan read it. It might have been Reddit, it might have been Twitter, I don't remember, or YouTube comments. He said something like, you know, this person just, they commented on our show essentially and said, I don't know, it just sounds like two Magic fans talking. Like, I want something more, like, you know what I mean? Like, he was not satisfied with the content that we put out. And that's fine. The show isn't for everybody. We get it. There are shows that dive into a lot of things, right? Like advanced analytics. And we try to bring people on who know more than us to bring knowledge, not only to you guys, but to us. Like, we're fans. We just happen to be, you know, passionate enough that like we're doing this stuff twice a week, even in the off season. But I love that person said that like, it just sounds like it's two friends talking about. It's like very, that is fine. That is what we aim to do. That is what we do. We say it on so many shows. When we get into cap stuff, when we get into just like certain things about basketball, we are very quick to say, y'all can correct us in the comments. You can DM us about something if we get something wrong. We are not experts by any means when it comes to this stuff, right? Like, we just are very invested. And the more invested you are, the more you know about something. And we just know a lot about the Magic in that respect. We don't know all the details all the time, but we try to, you know, keep it engaged. We want you guys to be able to hop in the car. You know, so many people have said to us, you know, I'm so thankful that you guys upload your episodes so early in the mornings, like 3 a.m., 2 a.m. Now it's basically like midnight on YouTube, 1 a.m. on YouTube and on our platforms. People say that. They're like, I just love being able to get in the car and know that they're on Mondays and Thursdays, there's going to be an episode and I look forward to it and I can put it on my car and listen to it on my way to work. Or, hey, I work the night shift. I'm so excited that I can, you know, listen to you guys on my way home to keep me awake before I get home and go to sleep, you know, for until my next shift. So that type of stuff fires us up. Like that's the type of stuff that like we want to be there. And that is just often like what it is. Like you just want to have a sense of community. I think that we do a good job providing it. I know when I listen to stuff, when it's Gator football season, especially like for me, as just like a listener standpoint of podcast, I want to listen. Like I just want to listen to something. I want to hear people talk about my team. I don't need it to be super in depth. Like I just want to hear it. I want to be able to just like take a break and like slow down and just like listen to something that like I hear like hearing about. So, you know, I think that that's really been something eye opening for me to see is that you guys appreciate that we're able to post this stuff. You can know when to expect it. You know, you do feel like you're just listening to two buddies talk about the Magic, and that's what we're here for.
And I, you know, I joked like saying like the earlier episodes were terrible. Like I go back and I just listen to like my delivery. I know that I'm much more confident now. I feel like the show is obviously having a co-host. The show is much more entertaining and engaging. So it's encouraging how far the show, just in my opinion, from a quality standpoint in the last 2 years, it makes me really excited to see what the show is going to look like 2 years, 5 years from now. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you and I always have the conversation, especially with cap stuff. Like we know we're going to get corrections. Listen,
we're getting roasted.
We don't always get
anytime
it right.
We talk about
I
cap
promise
stuff.
You guys, it is not for a lack of trying.
Right. Okay? Yeah.
Usually, especially during football season, I'm sitting at this desk usually for 3 to 4 hours prepping everything that we're going to, especially like during football season with basketball season going on. Like if we have 3 games to cover and I'm sitting here, you know, watching the Giants on a 1 o'clock game, I've got them over on this monitor while I'm here typing up the agenda for the show, looking up stats, pulling everything that we need to. But what I always tell Luke, we're going to get roasted. We're going to get corrected until we get it right.
Yeah.
Like we're not going to shy away from those conversations, even when we're like, oh God, we got to talk about the cap today. We're going to get roasted on YouTube later.
Yeah.
But we're like, okay, each time we get corrected, that's another nugget of knowledge in our brain for the next time that we go to talk about the cap.
Yeah.
And I love what you said, Luke. The show isn't for everyone.
Yeah.
And I've always known that. And this is the thing. This I don't want to get like philosophical and like get my David Goggins on here. Well, I'm trying to get something off my hat here if you see me mess with it on YouTube. But anybody that wants to put out any kind of content and you're worried that people are not going to like what you have to say, there is someone out there that is going to like what you say.
Mm.
There's different strokes for different folks. Everybody likes different flavors of ice cream. You know what I mean? I'm a big mint chocolate chip guy. Some of you are gagging at the thought of that.
That's
right
facts.
Now. Some of you are like, why do you like to eat toothpaste, right? I love mint chocolate chip ice cream. My point is, if you want to enter into some kind of space like this, just do it.
Yeah.
And don't stop doing it.
Right.
That, to me, is the biggest thing. Your consistency. Consistency is going to do 2 things for you. It's going to let folks know when to find you and where to find you every single week. The more that you do it, you will get better at it. Just whatever it is, if you're super passionate about it, if you want to enter the content space at all, it doesn't have to be podcasting. It can be YouTube. It can be writing. Whatever the case may be, do what you want to do. The right people out there will find it. Okay. Like Luke said, people, not everybody likes this show, and that is totally fine. But those of you that do, you know, I just, if you're going to take anything from this, I hope you know, like, we really put everything that we have into this show. It's a ton of fun. I know that this show, like, everybody that works on the show, whether it's Luke, whether it's Kevin, whether it's Manny that does our social videos, whether it's Ryan Brock who writes for us, if it's Tim Jones that writes for us, Ben Gifford, who helps us with our events. I know that all of us love this freaking team so much, and we are just trying to do the best that we can to bring you guys good content. Like Luke was saying, even if things aren't like the most like articulate, in-depth analysis, Sometimes you just want to sit back, kick back, and hear people talk about your team. And for too long with the Orlando Magic, there's not been enough of that. And, you know, I feel good about the fact that we've at least helped fill that void a little bit.
Yeah.
And there is more coming. With this team getting better, there will be more Magic podcasts. We see that, you know, every
right.
few months there's a new Magic podcast that comes around. And we welcome that because, again, like there's different strokes for different folks. Like we love our guys at Court Cousins, right?
Right.
Those guys are hilarious. Those guys are very creative. They bring you something that we do not. And it could be really easy, like, oh, we don't like mess with those guys, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But we love those guys. They bring a different flavor. We've had them on our show. We've been on their show. We've met those guys in person.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to single them out. There's a lot of other Magic podcasts, and everybody kind of does things a different way. But we welcome more Magic content. You guys deserve to hear people talk about your team more than you do. That is a matter of fact. Now, there will be casuals coming in the next few years. As the team starts to get better, there are going to be people be coming in, acting like they know exactly what they're talking about with the Orlando Magic, specifically from a national media standpoint. And we just hope that we will be remembered as like, no, those guys were there when the team was absolutely trash.
Garbage.
Because we were.
Yep.
Yeah. So this has gone on longer than I had anticipated with this. But you know, we know that there are people that really haven't heard like kind of what is behind you know, our hearts and just kind of the passion that we have for the Magic and for the show. So we thought it would be a good idea to have an episode like this. So, but Luke, I think that's going to do it. I don't know if you have more thoughts on this. I could talk about this forever.
Yeah.
I'm like trying to cut myself off.
Chances are if you made it to the point where like, we're going to talk about the show and like kind of introduce ourselves again and what the mission is and all that. If you made it to that point and then you're still here right now, you're a really probably just like a listener of the podcast, like a fan of the podcast in general. So appreciate you guys rocking with us. It's been an incredible journey so far, and we're just getting started. You know, we know that you guys will be able to be the people that said, you know, I've been listening to the six-man show when Luke joined the show, or, you know, when producer Kevin started making appearances on the show. We've got a lot of memories to make. We've already made a lot, so I think that we're pumped to continue it.
And we always try to show love to the people that show love to us. Mm-hmm. We know exactly who you are. Like, if you've been rocking with the show for a long time,
yeah,
we know exactly who you are. Mm-hmm. And when this team does turn around, like, we're definitely not like, oh, like, this is our thing. The Magic is for us. It's only for us. It's only for these diehard fans, and you guys just can't have it. Mm-hmm. You can't be fans of the Magic. We won't let you. We're not like that. But we're always going to remember like the real ones.
Yeah.
And we're not going to like specifically shout you out on the pod, but when we see you in person, when we meet you, you will know that we know. So we've rambled long, and I think we're just about done with this episode. But again, coming up October 14th, 7 o'clock versus the Cavs, the Orlando Magic's preseason finale at home. If you guys want to join us for that game, you can get your tickets at FEVO, FEVO. .me/the6man show. That is going to do it for us this week. For Luke Silvia, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You guys are listening to the 6-Man Show. We will catch you guys next time. See ya. Thanks for listening to the 6-Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and Spotify to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It helps out the show a lot. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @SixthManShow. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic!